sky will split. We shall hear the cry. He'll catch away his waiting bride to be at his side. We'll cross old Jordan smelling tight to live in heaven's paradise. Oh, what joy awaits us there forever. We shall reign.
We shall reign.
We shall reign. City fair with my mom and dad and the saints of old. We're gonna walk right down the streets of gold to see the sights that ain't been told. Forever we shall.
Everybody to hear the word of the Lord this morning. Would you say a big welcome to Sister Weedy and Sister Charlotte for playing our instruments for us this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I said to Sister Charlotte, how quickly are you moving? She said, it'll be about 2 weeks. That's just what she said. Hallelujah. Will you take your Bible this morning and turn with me to Nehemiah. Nehemiah. I don't think I've ever read a verse from Nehemiah in my text. But this morning I am preaching on a very exciting subject. I am thoroughly excited, and I don't want nobody to miss a word. So I hope nobody has to go out, that you can hear every word from the Holy Ghost this morning. I'm preaching on this subject. Listen to me carefully. Very, very important. Very, very important. Listen to me. Joy the world cannot take away. Joy the world cannot take away. No death. No accident, no heartbreak, no any calamity can take away this joy that I'm going to preach about this morning. And this joy is abundantly available because of Calvary, because of the cross. A joy the world cannot take away. In the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8 and verse 10, and he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the wine, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. For the joy of the Lord. It was a big celebration. It was a big holiday, special day, celebration day. And they were eating and drinking and enjoying the blessings of the harvest. And the closing words, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now turn to the book of St. John. The book of St. John, one of the great books that makes known the divinity of Jesus Christ, that great Lord and Savior. Look at verse 17, if you would please, and then at verse 18, 19, and 20. Listen carefully. This is extremely important. Then said some of the disciples, I'm sorry, reading from the wrong chapter there. Go to the next chapter, verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. The word is truth. As thou hast sent me, as thou hast sent me, I like that, unto the world, even so have I sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Now I've read two passages of Scripture. One of them deals with joy. Joy. And not just joy, but strength. Strength. Oh, I never thought of that like this before. But strength that comes from joy. And the next scripture deals with sanctification. Jesus himself praying that every one of us might be sanctified. And so I preach this morning on a joy that the world cannot take away. That's just a moment. You're going to be seated. But I want you to take those two words, joy and sanctification, and I want you to marry them together. I want you to marry them together. I want you to make them as though they were husband and wife, as though they were one. Because in reality, in the Bible, sanctification and joy are almost the same thing. They just kind of blend together from a little different meaning. But there's another word that can be added to that joy and sanctification, and that word is glory. The glory of the Lord, the reflection of God upon you. The reflection of God given to you. And that's bound up in the word of joy and the word of sanctification. Father, add to the understanding of your servant and this great congregation this morning, and don't let a one of us leave here without being affected by the word of God and the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name I pray, and you may be seated. And you may be seated. Now keep your Bible open. Give me your sharpest attention. And I want you to think this morning and take these words with you. I don't want them to ever vanish from your understanding. The word joy, the word sanctification, and then the word glory. I really like that. Jesus said, "And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them." And that's in that same 17th chapter of John. And it relates especially to the sanctifying power of the blood. And it says, "The glory which I have given thee." This is Jesus talking about the Father giving him glory. But then he says, "The same glory have I given them. The glory you gave me is the glory I've given them. I've sanctified myself that they might be sanctified. I've got joy, and I want them to have joy." So here we are in the picture of three masterful words of the Holy Bible. Joy. How many love the word joy? Oh, it's a marvelous word. And then the word sanctification. That's kind of, you know, you say theological. That's getting too deep for me. Only reason it's too deep for you is because it's above the level where you're living. Did you hear me? The only reason it's too deep for you is because it's above the level where you're living. But there's joy, and there's sanctification, and then there's the reflection of his person. The reflection of his glory. The reflection of his majesty. No wonder the Bible said he beautifies the meek with salvation. He beautifies the meek with salvation. Because the sanctifying blood and the joy of the Lord and the glory of his reflection will light up your face. It will light up your face. It will light up your face. until there's a beauty that you were not born with. There's a beauty that may transcend anything that anybody's ever thought about your appearance. I want to tell you something. The grace of God will make an ugly man pretty. Well, I should say beautiful. The grace of God to make a lovely, unsaved lady, how do I say this right? I get in trouble. But the grace of God will take you however you now look, and God will turn you into something beautiful. God will turn you into something absolutely, absolutely breathtaking, absolutely wonderful. So, sanctification, joy, and the glory of the Lord. I love that. I really do. Now, first, I'm going to start with the saving experience of the blood of Jesus Christ, because I believe salvation begets a wonderful level of joy. I believe that salvation, being born again, begets joy. I've never seen a person yet that came to the altar and really got saved that they didn't stand up with a face that was lit up. Somebody told me this morning of the Sunday I was at home. The Sister Chambers had gotten sick and of a lady in this altar. And they said to me, when she stood up from praying, her face was shining. When she stood up from praying, her face was shining. Now, I'm going to tell you, this church, this kingdom of God, this work of Christ has a joy that the world can't take away from you. This kingdom of God has a joy that the world can't take away from you. How many of you really believe that? Let me see your hand. It has a joy that the world cannot take away from you. Now, it starts in salvation. It starts in being born again. Now, I'm kind of laying the foundation here. But I want you to understand that the moment a person really gets saved, there is a passion for something that they don't understand that happens to have the word sanctification. They don't understand that word. They know nothing of what the word means. First get saved, just found the Lord, just born again, just washed in the blood, just made a new creature. And you see that person as they stand forth after being wonderfully converted, and you see a hunger that's all over their face. I remember a young man who got saved here a few years ago, and he actually devoted himself to the basement of the home where he was living, and didn't come out of there except for church and a few responsibilities and maybe some food, and he read the Bible from beginning to end. What happened to him when he got saved? There was a hunger for something deeper. You cannot get saved without having a hunger for something deeper. That hunger for something deeper is actually the soul of that individual panting to be sanctified. They don't know it. They don't understand it. I remember when I got saved, I went home that night, and on the way home, I was in a car with a bootlegger who sold liquor on the street while we were in church, while I was getting saved. As best I remember, he was out selling liquor, and I had to ride 30 miles home to where my family lived, and on the way home, we stopped at a house, I presumed, to sell liquor, and I rolled down the window where I was seated in the back seat. And I yelled out to the whole crowd listening, I went to church tonight a goat, and I'm going home a sheep. I didn't even know what the two words stood for biblically, but something had happened inside of me, and there was this hunger. There was something yearning, and I want to say thank God that hunger has never gone out. And there's some of you, you've never lost that hunger, you've never lost that desire, and that's why you're going on and on, and that's why you have a joy that the world cannot take away. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So the first thing you got to understand is salvation begets joy. The psalmist David said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. Why don't you reach your hand up and just get a taste of him. Just reach your hand up by faith and just get a taste of him. Just get a little feeling. Just get a little taste of all the grace and all the beauty and all the majesty of his wonderful name. All the wonder of being washed in the blood and being made a new creature on your way to hell. And suddenly you're on your way to heaven full of sin. But all of a sudden the guilt is gone. And you feel totally free. I want to tell you something. When he saves you, your record is as clean as the day you were born. I said, when you are saved and forgiven in a moment's time, your record is clean and definitely pure. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Notice that scripture. It's just exactly what I'm preaching this morning. Salvation is joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's a peace that passeth understanding. You can have full joy. You can have exceeding joy. You can have great joy. You can have grand joy. You can have heavenly joy. Hey, there's just so much joy in this wonderful faith. It never, never, never gives out. It grows as the days go by. It really is. Now turn with me. Turn with me. It's very important that I take you right into the heart of sanctification. Right into the heart of sanctification. And we're going to go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. Now you got to listen carefully. Chapter 5. Chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians. Now I can't preach joy to you if I don't tell you the source of joy. How many understand that? I can't preach joy to you if I don't tell you the source of joy. What a crazy preacher I'd be to stand up here and preach and get you shouting happy about the joy. And you leave here and say, well, boy, I like the sound of that. How can I get it? How can I experience it? I want that. I want to tell you something. This world is a cesspool. This world is going insane. What Sister Vette had to call and tell me happened to her, one of her daughters last night, and on the way to take care of the situation, made my heart hurt. It's a world full of filth. It's a world full of darkness. It's a world full of sin. And everywhere you turn, there's danger. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. But you, in the middle of all of this, can be shouting happy. And go about your life with the joy of the Lord in your heart. Now, I'm not talking about joy just because you went to the mountains and saw the beautiful trees and the leaves were so beautiful. We crossed over the parkway up there near Gatlinburg, about 10 or 15 miles across that particular stretch of the parkway, and it was gorgeous. It was like a postcard. It was beautiful, and I found joy in looking at it. But I'm not talking about that kind of joy. Hallelujah. I'm a man of learning. I'd rather read and learn. I'd rather get something different going through my upper cavity and learn some more words and learn some more things. I enjoyed learning to say the word weedy this morning. I got it right. Did I get it right? I loved learning. I love to learn. There's a joy in learning. There's a joy in accomplishment. When you do something and you do it well and you get through and you look and say, boy, I did it right. Anybody feel good when that happens to you? Brother Danny's back there about to come out of his seat. He's a painter. And I guarantee you, he'll go in a room that's all dirty and smudgy and needing some paint. And he'll take his time and he'll paint that room. He'll trim every window. He'll trim every door. He'll trim the baseboards. He'll get everything perfect. And then do you ever walk to the door and look and say, that looks good? You ever do that? See, that's joy. There's nothing wrong in the kinds of joy that I'm talking about. There's joy in friendship. I was with some of the most wonderful people this week on the face of this earth. I just soon to be with Bruce Gans and James Gans and Joey Yates and Carlos Fincannon and Ed Branch and on I can name them. It's a friendship that brings joy to my heart. Oh, but there's a joy that is so beyond all of the joys of this world. There's a joy that goes completely all the rest of it. You can think about it. You can enjoy it. You have a minute here and a minute there, a day here, a day there, an hour here, an hour there, and those joys are good. But I'm preaching about a joy, hallelujah, that just completely unnerves you and raises you to a different level. And you just enjoy the joy of the Lord. Well, hallelujah. So let's go to 1 Thessalonians. Now I want you to notice them. Sanctification is not an accident. It doesn't happen to people just because somebody told them they needed it. Sanctification cannot happen to a person who's never been saved. You can't be sanctified when you've never been born again. It's impossible. Sanctification is after you're born again. It's the, you know, the old Methodists, they preached it. I mean, they were some of the best. When I was studying sanctification years ago, I would read the books of J.A. Woods and all of those different writers for the sanctification Methodist movement. And it was just thrilling. It was a joy to read it. And then the Baptists, you can read in their beginning, they preached the Lordship surrender. Lordship surrender. It was something that happened after they got saved. And they would press their people to not sew up because they're saved, but keep on praying until you know that Jesus is the Lord of all. Nothing but sanctification. Just different words. And they experienced it. And it made saints out of them. It was overwhelming. But here's some things you got to do. Listen now, we're reading 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice evermore. Now, you're not talking to sinners. Apostle Paul was writing to the saints. He was writing to the saints. This was the second book he wrote. Then he said, pray without ceasing. Listen now. I'm talking about a saved person on their way to a higher height, on their way to another level, on their way upward. Now, I'm taking my time because I want you to get this message. All right, pray without ceasing. Number 18, verse 18, in everything give thanks. I'm talking about saved people. First, they rejoice. If you're saved, you'll rejoice. You sit out there and look like, you know, a dying pig in the sunshine and want me to think you're saved. You get good and saved, you're going to rejoice forevermore. Let me see if you're saved with some rejoicing, okay? He said, rejoice forevermore. Just keep on rejoicing. Don't ever quit. I'm not going to quit rejoicing. You say, Brother Chambers, sometimes I think you're a little bit off in the head. Well, if I knew how, I'd make you think it a little worse. I'm off in the head. Off in Calvary, off in the cross, off in the saving blood. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. This is the will of God in Christ concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Now we're talking to people, right here, Paul is, who have not yet really experienced the depth of sanctification. But they've been saved. And the Holy Spirit is at work. He's moving up and down the avenues of their soul. Hallelujah. That's why you can look at a new sinner and they look like a new person. Their face is beaming. The whole countenance has changed. They've got a joy they've never had. And they just got saved. They're very babyish, very immature. But because they've gotten saved, he says, quench not the Spirit. See, the Holy Ghost, the moment you get saved. That's what I meant a while ago when I said the moment you get saved, there's a yearning for sanctification because the Holy Ghost cannot move in a repentant sinner's heart without awakening inside of them a passion for something they have not yet experienced. And so the Holy Spirit is moving and he says, quench not the Spirit. Don't you set that, don't you put that. Some of you have felt like standing up and raising your hands and saying glory and you didn't do it because you quenched the Holy Spirit. Some of you have felt like doing numbers of things in the faith of the Lord, and you don't do it. You're quenching the Holy Spirit. I'm here to tell you, when you get good and saved, don't quench the Holy Spirit. Let him have his way. Throw your hand up and shout hallelujah. Do something, let people know I'm saved. Hallelujah. So he said, quench not the spirit. That's a very important part as you walk with God, as you go on to deeper heights and higher experiences. You got to obey the spirit. You got to quit quenching the spirit. Then he says, despise not prophesying. Boy, that's powerful. The Holy Ghost visits this church. You'd have been in our retreat. I mean, the Holy Ghost moved through that place. We even had an old saint of God, old-fashioned saint of God. We're all gathered around the altar, and we're having heaven. I mean, we're having heaven. And all of a sudden, she starts singing in the Holy Ghost. I felt something go through me from my head to my toes, singing in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. There was prophecies. There were tongues, interpretation. I saw more people in a meeting that were used by the gifts of the Spirit than I've ever seen in my entire life. And there was not a bit of cheapness about it. It was real. It was genuine. The Holy Ghost was moving. And there was prophecies. And he said, despise not prophesying. If a preacher stands up and said, you need to quit being lazy about your prayer life, and he says it in the Holy Ghost, that's prophesying. Don't you despise it. Don't you turn away from it. Listen to it. Listen, go on. Prove all things. Prove all things. When you get saved, there's some demons out there that's got some things to say to you. There's some preachers out there that's all confused, and they've got some things to say to you. Oh, yeah. But he said, prove all things. Come on now. You're saved? Listen at me. Look at me. Everybody in the building, I want you to look at me. You got to prove everything. You got to prove what's right and what's wrong. You got to put the test to things. Now, how do you put the test to things? There's one way. Hold that up. You test everything with the book. You test everything with the book. Come on, raise your hand. Let me see you. Are you out there? You test everything. Prove all things. And listen what he says. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Great day. I remember those old preachers when I first got saved. I never forget Ray Hughes preaching. The first time I heard it, he was the youth director of the church. I'm a young kid. Oh, he was younger than maybe about Dylan's age. Well, Dylan, you're not a young kid. I didn't mean to suggest that. Well, maybe a little bit. I'm kidding with Dylan. I like to pick at him. I don't let him pick at me. I have to stop him. Hallelujah. I said, I'm the pastor. I'm picking you. That's not fair, is it? I know. Listen to me. Prove all things. Hold fast. You know something good about serving God? How many know you ought to pay your tithes every time you get one penny in your possession? Raise your hand. Come on, raise it way up high. Come on, way up high. Hold fast. Hold fast. Hold fast to that which is good. Hold fast to that which is good. Oh, I like that. I like that. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. And listen to this last one that I read. Abstain from the very appearance of evil. When you get saved, friend, you are not going to want anybody to see anything about you that looks evil. Can you imagine? Can you imagine some of the things that you had to abstain from when you got saved? Now, I'm talking about getting ready to be sanctified. Did you know that's what I was talking about? I think I made that clear. Now, look at the next verse. Now, you got to hear this one. It says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. You got to hear that. I said, you got to hear that. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. That word holy don't mean H-O-L-Y. It means W-H-O-L-Y. You get the message? The whole person. The whole being. Everything about you. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a statement. Now take that. I hope you're listening and reading the Bible with me. He said, sanctify them spirit, soul, and body. Now, we often read in the Bible, body, soul, and spirit. It seems to be most apparent when you're studying the Bible that it says body, soul, and spirit. But now, we're talking about redemption. We're talking about salvation. We're talking about sanctification. It don't start out here and work in. It starts in here and works out. Hallelujah. So he says spirit because the inner man. And then soul, which is the personality. And then the body. And he reverses the normal use of the idea of spirit, soul, and body. Or body, soul, and spirit. And gives it a biblical approach. Isn't that breathtaking? Does anybody get that but me? If you've got that, you'd throw a foot up or do something. Because I'm telling you, that's rich. He starts on the inside. You get born again. You get saved. You've been washed in the blood. The Holy Spirit come to live in you. And then he starts working on you. And he works on you from the inside out. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, what a God we serve. Oh, I'm about to get happy. Oh, somebody raise a hand and just worship God a minute. I'm here to tell you, it is wonderful when you get sanctified. Oh, get that thing on. When you get sanctified, right, it does something. It does something. Oh, would you stand now and sing it? Hallelujah.
It gets sweeter as the days go by.
Ooh, hallelujah.
It gets sweeter.
Sweeter.
As the moments fly, his love is richer, it's deeper, fuller, and sweeter.
Are you standing here?
It gets
singing.
Sweeter.
I'm not
sweeter,
preaching.
Sweeter,
I'm
sweeter
down.
As the day goes by.
It gets sweeter.
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 As the day goes
by. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
It gets sweeter.
Does it do that, sister? Hallelujah.
Must fly.
Hallelujah.
His love is richer.
Deeper.
It's deeper.
Sweeter.
And fuller.
Oh, yeah.
It's sweeter.
Oh,
it's sweeter.
We got to sing it one more time.
Sweeter.
Everybody
sweeter
raise your hand and let's sing it together.
Hallelujah. Oh, it gets sweeter.
It gets sweeter. Yes, it does.
As the days go by.
You just sanctified. And you just hit
it
into joy.
As the moments fly, his love is richer and deeper, fuller and sweeter. Oh, it gets sweeter, sweeter, sweeter as the days go by.
Hallelujah. Raise your hand and thank God it gets sweeter.
Hallelujah.
And it only gets sweeter when you walk with him. When you go on and on and on, hallelujah, hallelujah, you will be so happy. You will be so full of joy. It'll set you on fire. You'll be stirring up everybody you meet. You know why you're not winning souls? You know why most of you are not winning souls? You're not living sanctified. Somebody loves me still. Am I okay? It's right whether you say it's okay or not. Hallelujah. I love that guy. I'll tell you something, church. That's nothing like the joy of sanctification. See, when I got saved, they never preached on sanctification or joy that they didn't combine them together. It was all, you remember that? It was always joy, that there's more joy. You get somebody sanctified and they'll act happier, maybe probably more than even when they get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You get sanctified. It turns the glory of God loose inside of you. You get sanctified. It turns the reflection of God loose inside of you. You get sanctified. It turns the action and the feeling and the emotion and the beauty of God loose inside of you. You become a person set free. Oh, you see, when you get saved, you're in a war. You're in a war both in the flesh and in the spirit. But when you get sanctified, the only war you got then is in the spirit. Hallelujah. The flesh war is over. Did you hear me? The flesh war is over. I haven't wanted a cigarette since I got sanctified. I haven't wanted to miss my tithes since I got sanctified. You know, if I wasn't old, I'd preach. Somebody raise a hand and tell him how much you love him. Will you tell him how much you love him? Tell him how much you love him. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not through, so just be seated if you would please. I want to warn you. I want to warn you. You can be obsessed with joy. You can be so full of joy, it's running out your ears. And the inside of you can be as submitted and surrendered to God as it possible to be. But the devil's still going to come after you. I don't want to leave you with some feeling that a sanctified man is completely, you know, we used to say, when you get sanctified, you're not petrified. You're not petrified when you get sanctified. Now, the old man's dead. He didn't run his mouth, but you'd shut him up. He's in a cage. He might shake the cage door at you. But as long as you don't open the door, he can't get out. Do you understand what I'm saying? And everybody listen to me real carefully. Real carefully. I want you to live this life victoriously. I want you to live it all the way to the end. I want you to live it all the way to the end. And if you're saved, I'll guarantee, and you've been sanctified, if you're saved and hadn't been sanctified, the old man is not even in the cage like he ought to be. He's just not there. So he tempts you, all kinds of ways, and he's got some feeling inside of you to agree with his temptation. But you get sanctified, there's nothing in you to agree with his temptation. Because you've been sanctified. The old man dead. The old man's in the cage. He's there. He can scream and yell and holler. I hear the old man in me sometimes. I mean, he's just screaming. Shut your mouth, you big fat thing, you. I'm not going to do what you say. I belong to Jesus. Tell your flesh to shut up, somebody. Some of you need to do it. Some of you need to start doing it regular. Some of you need to start living a life of stopping this old man who's in a cage, or at least he used to be. But I want to show you what can happen. Go with me to the book of 2 Peter. The book of 2 Peter. Oh, it just upsets me when I think of how many people out there are. And their life is miserable because they've allowed the enemy to come against them. They've allowed the enemy to trouble them. Go to verse 18 of 2 Peter chapter 2. Verse 18. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity that allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, that those that were clean escaped from the who lived in error. Now listen, the enemy, I got to read that again, get a little better. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from the error of their way. So here are people clean, escaped from the error of their way. But here comes a slick-tongued backslider, false prophet, enemy of the gospel, whatever you want to call them. They begin to allure you. You're living too narrow. Don't you understand? You don't have to live that narrow. You don't have to be so tied up to Jesus. You're so heavenly minded. You're not any earthly good. You know, I used to hear that a lot about people, but you don't hear that much no more. Is there a reason for that? Are there any people much you know who are so heavenly minded they're no earthly good? I don't know many of them. I know. We've got a church world so worldly. We got a church world that has so left off sanctification. We got a church world that just, that they enjoy the little things of the world. They're always out doing something. You know, it just upsets me when people plan these big events on Sunday. And they call you up and say, we're having such and such on such and such Sunday. And your family loves you. And they need you over here. They need you to come. Do you know I've been hearing that 64 years? Ain't never been to one of them yet that I had to miss church. And ain't going. Brother Chambers, oh, you mean you don't? I love my family with all my heart. I love my family as much as any man can love my family or love their family. But I want you to know something. I've been sanctified. And Sunday is the day of the Lord. It's a holy day. It's been set apart for my King and my Redeemer. And it's a day I celebrate Him. I celebrate my love for Him. I celebrate His Word. I celebrate the love and the praise and the adoration. I'm talking about people trying to allure you away from your place. You are set in concrete with God. Holy Gramoshibali Kopaha Run Sikli Samato. Hallelujah. I feel His Holy Ghost this morning, and He's talking to somebody. Tell that world, I have no time for you. I got a joy you don't even understand. Hallelujah. Somebody said, what do you do for fun? How many of you ever had somebody say that to you? What do you do for pleasure? And I say, I get in my Bible and pray till the Holy Ghost comes down. And I'll promise you, I have more pleasure than this world has any understanding of. Hallelujah. So, you know, you got to get this in your mind. I need to read all of that. And time is, I've been preaching overtime lately. I guess I might as well keep that up. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. Are you listening? How many of you know some people like that? While they promise you liberty, you're too bound. You're too straight-laced. You're too hard-boiled. Oh, they got a lot of words for us. They really have. While they promise you liberty, they want you to be free. Yeah, free to do like they do. Not like the Lord wants you to do. I mean, that's just as plain as you can read. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. I'll never forget when we were leaving the denomination, one of my best friends, a preacher that I loved him like my right arm. We preached together. We preached for one another. We had revivals with one another. We loved one another. And he called me on the phone. He said, Brother Chambers, can't you compromise just a little bit? I said, brother, why would you say that to me? It broke my heart. No. Brother Chambers, why can't you compromise a little bit? No! I went to his funeral. You wouldn't know his wife was ever a holiness woman. I won't tell you what all she was doing. She looked like something out of a dime store. They wanted me to compromise a little bit. Why? Because a little bit only adds to a little bit. If anything in this Bible is compromisable, everything in the Bible is compromisable. If you can compromise one of the Ten Commandments, you might as well compromise all 10 of the Ten Commandments. If you can compromise one thing about a holy dress and a holy life and a pure face and a sweet, clean life and dressing pure and clean, then you'll compromise more and more and more until there won't be nothing left for you to compromise. I got news for them. Hallelujah. I know exactly what compromise means. It means bondage somewhere down the road. Hallelujah. A kind of bondage that you can't even get loose from. It'll follow you to your graveyard unless somebody prays through for you. But I got news for you. When you've been sanctified by the blood and set apart and you've got the joy of the Lord in your heart, in your life, hallelujah, it doesn't even faze you. Yeah. Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. A joy this world cannot take away. A joy this world cannot take away. A joy this world cannot take away. I've had it 64 years. I don't know how much longer I got, but I'm going to stay with it. Somebody ought to be on the feet shouting. I don't know. Is there anybody here that's really got the victory this morning? Anybody here? Hallelujah. Anybody want to stand up and shout hallelujah? Hallelujah. 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 Stand up, Brother Marlon, please. Hallelujah. Shout hallelujah, somebody. Shout hallelujah, somebody. Praise the name of the Lord. Now just worship Him a minute. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, as I come to this last scripture, I pray that You'll get a hold of us like You've never got a hold of us in our life, Lord. I pray You'll do something for this congregation. Somebody in this building that's lost. Keep your hand up a moment. Somebody in this building is lost. Somebody somebody in this building is lost. Lost. If you knew that if you would taste the Lord, you would find Him better than anything you've ever had, would you run to the altar? Would you run to the altar? I've got to tell you the words of a man. Everybody standing, please, for the finishing word. That'll help me stop a little quicker, maybe. Stand in 1 Corinthians 9 and 27. This is one of the greatest scriptures about the life of Apostle Paul I've ever read. How many know the kind of man Apostle Paul was? How many know he literally ascended up into heaven and walked through paradise? He told the beauty of that pearly white city, those golden streets, and the great King of Kings on His throne. He told about angels by the multiplied millions that flew around that place with heavenly praises and heavenly glory. He'd been up there where the majesty was. He'd been up there where the glory was. He'd been up there where the heavenly blessings was. And he meant to go there all the way to the end. And listen to what he said. He said, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. Apostle Paul. What are you aware of, Apostle Paul? What do you know about this walk of faith, Apostle Paul? You've been in the heavenly glory. You've walked through the majesties of heaven. You've heard things that God wouldn't even let you repeat. And you have to keep under your body and bring it into subjection, lest you, Paul, should become a castaway. If that could happen to Paul, that can happen to you and I. But I'm going to do just like Paul did. I'm going to reach and get me by the seat of the pants and by the nap of the neck. And I'm going to say, Joe Chambers, you belong to the King. And you ain't going to do nothing that don't please Him. And you're going to walk in obedience to Him. Are you with me? Are you saying that? Somebody reach and get yourself by the nap of the neck. Somebody reach up there and get a hold of yourself right around the collar. Come on. Reach up there and get a hold of yourself. That's right, Brother Larry. Say to yourself, I'm never going to go back. I'm never going to turn aside. I'm never going to bow my head to the world. I'm never going to let the world steal my joy. I'm going all the way. And you know why he could say that? It's because he had a joy that the world couldn't take away. Say it with me, a joy that the world cannot take away. You got to say that again. A joy that the world. Sister Marilyn, he can't have my joy. He's not going to get my joy. Hallelujah. I'll never forget that Sunday I run here and turned this corner too fast. And my old equilibrium went out. And he had to come and set me down. I was going, but I was falling. I don't tell you. I don't care what happens. I don't know what's going to take place the rest of my life. I'm not going to tell you some of the things that I feel anymore. I can tell you one thing. I'm 80 years old, and I know it. I know it. Do you know you're 81, Mama? You're going to be 82 before I'm 81. I know. You don't like for me to say that, do you? Get me when you get home, okay? And I'll kiss you for it. Listen to me, church. Oh, God, reach up and get a hold of this. Reach up and get a hold of Him. Reach up and just by faith take a hold of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Reach up there and give your life and a surrender to Him. Oh, the Holy Ghost talking to you this morning, isn't He? Hallelujah. For the good of his kingdom and His glory. I want to tell you something, church. He didn't bring you here for nothing. He brought you here to affect your life for His glory. He brought you here to affect your life for His glory. He brought you here to change you. Now, somebody in this building that needs to come to Christ, would you bow your heads? Come for me, music. Play for me if you would, sister. Somebody, the piano, sister, Charlotte, sister. Listen, raise your hand. I want you to pray. God's talking to somebody. God's talking to somebody. God's talking to somebody. Oh, I see a young couple. I hope they're ready to come. Maybe they've already given their heart to the Lord. If they haven't, come on, young people. Come on to Christ. Come on to Christ. I want to tell you something. There is nothing to match this. That's nothing to match this. Hallelujah. 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 I love Him, don't you? How many of you really love Him? And you want to know that you're sanctified and you want to have this joy all the way to the end of the race. Till it's over, Brother Dylan. Till it's over. This joy. I open the invitation for you to come if you need to be saved. Would you come? If you're not saved, would you come? If you're already saved, just come to get closer. How many of you in this building that you know you've been saved and you need to get in this scripture that I read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and 16 through 23, and you're going to get into it, would you step out and come? That'll help others who need to come. Would you come? I've got to live that sanctified life. I got to live that sanctified life. While you're coming, they're singing. Come on, sinner friend.
And with thanksgiving, I'll be a living.
Come on, visitors. You ought to be in this altar with us. Come on. Come on, Larry. Come on, Larry. Hallelujah. Come on.
Lord,
come
on, prepare.
Hallelujah. Come to this altar.
To be a sanctuary.
Dig in this altar. Hallelujah.
Pure.
Come on, my dear brother. Let your rib over you. You need to be in this altar. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thanksgiving.
Hallelujah. Come. Hallelujah. He's calling you. It's greater than you think. Hallelujah.
Sanctuary
for you. Hallelujah.
For you.
Come quickly. Come visit us. Hallelujah.
Lord, prepare me.
There'll be a sanctuary. Would you preach it?
This old world is filled with disappointment and trouble everywhere. Many times I get discouraged and I almost lose my way. Then I remember I'm just a pilgrim in this troubled world below. There's one thought that keeps me singing as I go. We're not home yet, children, so keep your eyes on the Savior. Just a few more days to labor, then we'll sit down beside that river. How I long to be with Jesus. And my loved ones gone before, there's a better day a-coming. We're not home yet. There's a land that's filled with milk and honey just waiting for me. Someday Jesus will come and take me over the sea. So I'll keep watching and waiting in this troubled world below. There's one thought that keeps me singing as I go. Keep your eyes on. just a few more days to labor. Then we'll sit down beside that river. How I long to be with Jesus and my Lord.